and just circulate through the crowd. Are you aware of these sites? Do you want to know what's really going on? Hand them one of these papers. Print up 1,000. Walk through the crowd and distribute them. Great idea, Quince. Spectacular idea. Thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, Alan. Bye-bye.
Great call from Quince in Pennsylvania, regular caller. All right, let's go. Let's go up to Winnipeg. John, you're on the air with Alan Tsang.
Hi, Alan. Yeah.
Hi.
Michael Suit can compel me to call up. You know, a thing that we can look at is actors. You know, there's a lot of great movie actors, and their performances are very real. We can become emotionally a part of a production, and yet we know they're actors who've got a script, and but they're extremely convincing. You know, and they pull on our heartstrings, and they know which levers to pull too. You know, we got to look at the fact that prior to the bailout for the bankers, there was some polls. I can't remember what the numbers are, but it's like 99% of the people think it's a stupid idea, and we all send our messages to the congressmen and pass messages back and forth, but yet we're always the outsiders, you know? Yeah, you guys don't know what you're talking about. We could be like 99.999% of the human populace. So they have a very serious the game they're playing against our interests. They can say they're championing the Constitution, but they won't allow evidence to form our guilty verdicts. They'll capture our faith or steal our faith, as Bush did when he told us he was a Christian battling evil, but he closed 9/11 investigations immediately. Well, that wouldn't be a very Christian thing, but Fox News would never let us know that, and particularly with the lead up to the Iraq War, there is so much evidence, as you are well aware, that implicates the Bush administration for treason behaviors. You know, they doctored the National Intelligence Estimate, for example, on what the CIA actually, and the CIA and every other intelligence agency, what they actually thought about the chances of Saddam having WMDs. It was nil. But they doctored those documents. They conned Congress. They conned the soldiers, while all the time knowing a person like Glenn Beck, who gets his big shows on the big channels, he wasn't going to be there to defend you. He'll say he's there to defend you, but he's not going to let the truth prevail. He's going to, you know, he's going to smile at you and say, oh, we got to, you know, he's not there for us. He's, and a lot of people would send emails to these people. You know, anybody I talk to about the bank bailout, they go, bad. These guys are criminals. I can't get into an argument with anybody ever. As soon as the people understand what the truth is, they know we're being hoodwinked. We're being scammed.
Brilliant points, John in Winnipeg. So true. Yes, John, they have the power to persuade us because they have these brilliant performers who know how to manipulate emotion. Quite true. This is what the problem is. But they can't change the facts because 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
John, thanks for your call.
All right, thanks.
Great call from John in Winnipeg. As always, we'll take a break. We'll do some business and be back with much more in a moment. Stay with me.
Hey, go to the guests and books section, and don't be surprised by the change in appearance on the website. You know, I have not even glanced at the email today, to be quite honest with you. I have got so much to say. Just absolutely full of it today, am I not? And we're going to make a little room for John here. He's up in Canada, eh? You want to talk about torture, John? What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, sorry there, Richard. Yeah, torture, yeah. You know, I've been listening to what people have been saying, and boy, it's pretty freaky. You know, Obama said last Thursday as
Keith Olbermann, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, Keith Olbermann had quoted him. Here's what Obama stated, quote, "Nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past," unquote. And that's what justice is. I mean, you have to lay blame for the past to defend their next innocent victims. And torture is illegal because you're not going after any bad guys. That's why Reagan stated in the War Crimes Act it warrants a death sentence, because you're undermining our will to hunt down those who are truly responsible. And as you might be aware, there was a report that came out regarding the Predator strikes, and they've had 701 kills since 2004, and of those 701, only 14 have been acknowledged by whatever evidence there is, and they're not offering nothing, but the story did state that there were 14 of those 701 kills were alleged to be al-Qaeda. But what's your evidence? If you've got evidence against somebody, bring forward that charge and tell us how you come to conclude this person is guilty of a criminal offense. Because if you go on YouTube, you can watch them kill all kinds of people. If a guy's carrying a gun, suspecting to carry a gun, he throws his gun away. One of the big popular videos on YouTube. They kill him for that. And there's just some guy in the middle of a war zone. Who knows what he's trying to do?
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Let's dial it down a little bit here. For one thing, I can tell you this. When the International Red Cross goes and talks to these people and finds out what big bad ogres America is, they're always only talking to the prisoners. And there's not a single prisoner, you know, at Guantanamo Bay or anywhere else who's ever guilty of anything, you know? You ask these guys and say, what's going on? Oh, no, nothing. I'm completely innocent and I'm But when it comes down to laying blame for the past, so to speak, I'll tell you exactly why the Obama administration has decided not to pursue this. A, I think that they are, cooler heads are prevailing and they're saying looking backward and trying to force all this stuff through is a bad idea because... As much as you don't want to admit it, John, we got an immense amount of information out of these guys. We got an immense amount of information out of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We got an immense amount of information out of Zubaydah. And guess what? Aside from the documents that were released by the Obama administration, there's a whole bunch more documents that will never be released by any administration that spells out exactly what we got out of these guys and how we went about thwarting these very incidences that they talked about from taking place. Number two, they also realize that there's really no way on God's green earth that they're ever going to be able to get these guys convicted. They can put them out there, and unless they get a friendly judge who decides that he wants to make a name for himself and put these guys away, and then it's going to get appealed, and it's going to get appealed again, and it's going to end up in front of the Supreme Court, and the overall ruling is going to be, wait a minute, if the Attorney General of the United States wrote an opinion that this was legal, then there's no point in trying to convict these guys because they're going to walk. You're basically making a constitutional decision at that point about whether or not these laws were legal, but your decision isn't being made until well after the fact, and you can't prosecute somebody for a law that you're deciding or making today. So why waste the time and the energy is what it comes down to.
Oh, well, thankfully, I have a moment to respond. Justice is reason. If you have no way to formulate your allegation, the individual is innocent. We know that Bush closed investigations immediately, according to Senator Daschle and the FBI. Why don't you support the arrest of General Amat? It's a coward who says to soldiers, no, go in faith, blind faith. Don't form your own mind. Do it in a religious position as Obama, your new deity. Instead, you should be demanding to form your mind with the facts that are freely available, such as liquefied iron flowing from the teller like water. Ask your guest today.
I will. Thank you, John. There we go. It always ends up with either banking or a September 11th conspiracy. Liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water. Yeah, didn't happen. That's part of the problem right there. Didn't happen.
Hi, guys. It's John here in Canada. Great topic.
Canada. Hi, John.
Hi. Yeah, excellent. This is a top priority issue we got to resolve. And you know what? We can do it pretty simply. Overman quoted Obama last Thursday regarding this torture issue, and the quote was, quote, nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past, unquote. And really, that's what justice is. We need to hold people to account, and it's very important that every American and people of the world understand it. Under American standing law, torture is currently illegal, and warrants, if the person dies, it warrants a death sentence.
Yes.
If the person doesn't die, it's a life-term prison sentence. And why is that? Because it undermines justice. They're not following probable cause for terrorist events that occurred by looking for a crime scene leads at the real murder scene. Instead, they say, KSM did it. Well, how did he get, you know, we got all kinds of evidence indicating that he's got no connection, such as the FBI informing us that the thing was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad. See, this, and it takes courage. That's where, you know, the real freedom patriot warriors reside with the evidence, because it is scary. I mean, that's where the challenge resides, in being able to speak freely on behalf of the rights of the all individuals to support FBI officers' fine outstanding work indicating who financed this operation. Of course, this individual hasn't gone arrested. A friend of his was interviewed on the radio not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, talking about how he's still alive and well, you know, partying it up in Pakistan. And soldiers are being undermined too. I mean, this is why it's illegal. You're circumventing our will to stop these transgressions from reoccurring. And as you said, these people are really despicable. I mean, we're not really getting a lot of what's going on, but there's also private mercenaries such as Khaki hired to sexually torture innocent people to death. We have soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We have soldiers in Oregon coming across a torture facility, and there, it's, if you just type Oregon soldiers and torture, you'll find it on the internet. A number of people have written about this, but they come across a torture facility with women and children. The place is covered in blood. The soldiers, thinking they were patriots, and maybe they were truly, arrested the torturers, freed the prisoners, and then were ordered by their commander to release their prisoners and give them back their torture victims because this is an American facility. And it's understanding why torture is always illegal. The only people who support it are through the tyranny of censorship. If we can communicate openly, we'll all come to agree on this important issue. It's only people who don't allow open discourse on the facts that undermine our undermine our want for justice and the escape of the true perpetrators. You know.
Okay.
Okay. Lots of words, but thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
I'd also like to point out, you got it, brother, I don't think we have a voice either. There's not somebody that's come out of our generation, outside of maybe an Alex Jones, who really is only 36 years old, that has a true voice.
Yeah, definitely in the Gen X generation, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just don't have, you're right, we don't have that voice. We don't have that motivation. We were kind of told from a young age that our generation didn't matter. We were born to be slackers. And a lot of people adopted that attitude. You know, we keep tumbling into the perils of technology. Not to say technology is bad inherently. It's not. It's a double-edged sword. It could be used to empower humanity like so many things, but also really rip it down as well. All right, let's go to John in Canada. John, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was hoping I could make a brief comment on how to wake up people about the New World Order, but I wanted to update you on that info that you were seeking. I think it was last Thursday. That was the day that Oberman was talking about torture and what Obama's comments were. And Obama's comments on Thursday were, quote, "Nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past."
Mm-hmm.
Quote,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just ridiculous. The story on Oregon soldiers discovering women and children being tortured at an American facility.
Yeah,
the story title. The story title is "Unnatural Acts, No Place for Mercy." And there's the Oregonian also did a series, or it originated with the Oregonian. But how to wake people up about the New World Order? Hey, I got this down almost an art here. You know, it depends on the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, firstly, for reporters, my strategy has always been is I tell them firstly, and I provide any evidence that they request, is that Bush closed 9/11 investigations immediately. Well, how are we going to nab anybody then? And I show them or get them to look at video of iron flowing from the towers like water. So that's mm-hmm. a powerful thing for reporters. For police officers, I always mention General Lamed right off the bat. This
yeah.
guy, according to the FBI, you want to serve justice's cause in America? Support the FBI's formal conclusion, because they're just following the evidence trail at the real mass murder scene. And the alleged mastermind ringleader Muhammad Atta was financed by this guy, and then you got to test the waters. Can you go further or not? Because then you could say he's also at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11, and he also implemented the strategy with the Taliban, letting them know that no evidence would be brought against the accused. And then if for intel people or court officials,
mm-hmm.
the top piece of info is Jim Mikuláševsky's anonymous. Top secret, was top secret, presidential directive strategy, war strategy documents on how to get into Afghanistan dated 2 days prior to 9/11. So they had the war strategy down as top secret material originating from Condoleezza Rice's office, reported on by MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty
that.
Powerful. And then,
yeah.
and then he changed the story. Actually, if you go to their site now, it's changed a little bit. So if you get both versions, then you convince everybody in intel. If you can show them both versions, the first version that was there for the first 3 years, and then they changed it, and then they changed some words there, made it. But it's really a desperate call for help.
Mm-hmm.
This man has got the central war strategy. It's an act of treason at his desk. He's had it there for years. And we fail to communicate our outrage equally, because we got so many issues that divide us on all kinds of different planes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to finally find that we do believe in common cause. You need evidence to form an allegation against somebody. If you have no evidence, the person's innocent. I mean, this is the Magna Carta. A free man should not be put into prison.
Period.
Unfortunately, with the passage of the Military Commissions Act, that really no longer holds true for you and me.
Because
we can really, you know, which is disgusting. You know, we would expect the same courtesy, if you will, that we're making these accusations because the evidence points to these facts. We're showing evidence. We're saying, hey, here's the mainstream media accounts. Here are the FBI documents. Here are the videos which prove our point. And they go, nope, just doesn't exist. Or nope,
yeah,
just doesn't matter. Or nope, we're outside the bounds of law. Meanwhile, they can say, I'm a terrorist. Say, we don't have to produce any documents whatsoever. Military Commissions Act. Go round him up, put him in a cage, and he can spend the rest of his life there.
We can get above him. We can get above him. There's a strategy. National. We can do
all right, buddy. All right, John, I believe we can do it, too. I thank you for the call. We're going to go to James in New York and others. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Hello, sir.
Hey, Alex. Good day to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, you got me motivated to pick up my phone and give you a shout. You know, the Free State Project and all those guys, we got to understand that this battle has been on forever. You know, Magna Carta, a free man shall not be put into prison. Hammurabi, if a person makes a false allegation, a capital allegation against another person and they have no evidence, they will be immediately executed. And Hammurabi founded our civilization because if we put our all our fears to the side, we understand that actually makes sense for everybody. Everybody would adhere to that principle because false accusers really get in our way and undermine justice for ourselves. Similarly, as is torture currently under American law, illegal and warrants the death sentence if the person dies or a life-term prison sentence if, the person isn't tortured to death. Now, the reason that law is still standing is you can't argue against it. It's people, CNN will never educate the American masses on why that in fact it is illegal and why. Why is that? Because people who torture people undermine justice. They're not interested in pursuing the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. All these thousands and thousands of people have been tortured, many of them to death, sadistically, sexually, you know, they cut men's penises. They think that that's a fun thing to do because they sadistically enjoy this kind of pain inflicted against innocent others. They don't want to go after General Ahmad, who financed 9/11. They don't talk about the liquefied iron flowing from the tower on video, like water. You know, and Bush closing investigations immediately. So this idea, well, we got to kind of get together and serve ourselves well. Is a very easy thing to do if we have the right leadership and we're able to speak it on a national level. Like, I fight to get on coast-to-coast radio. I have profound disagreements against George Norrie undermining justice for and freedom for every single American citizen by not allowing free to open discourse on these important matters of evidence to form our conclusion. Instead, you know, he makes us swim in doubt and fear and undermines our pursuits. Like I say, what American soldier or American citizen would disagree with having Bush immediately arrested for high treason, being an accessory to mass murder in New York City by closing investigations? That's obstruction of justice. The FBI had not finished their task of nabbing all those who are responsible for the crimes. You know, and why did he close it? Well, we found out that it was financed by General Ahmad, his buddy, business partner, who was at the White House the same date and location when they were working on their invasion of Afghanistan strategy, top secretly, according to MSNBC's Jim Mikleshevsky. So they're working on their plan to invade Afghanistan 2 days prior to 9/11 with the general who, according to the FBI, financed the operation. And then after the terrorist strike went down, where, you know, thousands of Americans were murdered, that general went to the Taliban to let them know no evidence is going to be brought against the accused. And you better defend him as Muslim fundamentalist until you know otherwise. Form your own mind. Don't go in faith that Bush is your deity. Believe in justice for all and demand evidence to form a conclusion or even a suspicion. But they deny us all these simple, or to me they seem extremely simple, and I know that when I communicate to other people, they usually understand what I'm saying. You know, you might find out, go, maybe that's not true, but you know, you look it up and you find out that these things are correct. And we go, well, why can't we have justice? And I think it's just a national voice. You know, just somebody going, look, let's say it was on coast to coast. Anybody in America, soldier, citizen, or otherwise, think that I'm wrong on this,
conclusion that he needs to be immediately arrested for high treason. We want to nab the actual evildoers. Because you look, Alex, at what's going on in Afghanistan. They're saying they're killing the Taliban. Well, what is the Taliban? I mean, the government there is a Muslim fundamentalist government that just made it legal to rape women and push heroin into our world and commit injustices against the populace there.
Now, let me pause. Can I ask? Hang on for a second.
Sure.
I want to read an article here that relates to that you said the whole thing about rape in Afghanistan. Just shows, you know, our intentions are not there to help women or anything like that. It's still the same with terrorism.
Yeah.
But let me read this article here from the Daily Tech by Jason Meek. Here's the headline. FBI surveillance unit caught watching teenage girls undress. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigations is equipped with expensive high-tech equipment designed to protect our nation's citizens, in most cases at least. In an embarrassing debacle, it has been revealed that two FBI police officers in Morgantown, West Virginia, tried to use such equipment to watch teenage girls undress. The two employees, Gary Sutton Jr., 40, and Charles Homama, worked at the FBI satellite control room at the mall. They had a play there called the Cinderella Project. So they were modeling prom dresses for charity. The pair allegedly used one of the building's built-in security cameras to zoom in on the makeshift dressing room, which had no ceiling. As the camera zoomed in closer and closer, several teenage girls entered the room, undressed and changed, and left. It's not known how the pair's actions were noticed, but once they were, there was little doubt who was to blame, as they were the only ones who had control of the camera. Interesting stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. We have that's something particularly important to understand, that these guys are not being held to account. We have CIA officers that was in it. The reports that are now plastered all over whatreallyhappened.com and other locations. Talking about the CIA, so-called the CIA, says, oh, torture is good because we were able to thwart so many terrorist activities. Example, Los Angeles, we were able to thwart this by torturing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed more than 239 times, and as a consequence, that terrorist act didn't go down. Well, the terrorist attack had been planned to go down in 2002. Well, they didn't arrest him until 2003. Like, I would send the military into the CIA. I would arrest everybody in the CIA. None of these people speak for the interest of defending the American people. They push dope. And with Cheney, as confessed by one of his associates on CNN, he's running assassination squads, not through the government, not through the military. It's a private thing for him. And we know that Tillman was murdered. Did he murder Tillman? Who did he murder? He admits to murdering people, his buddy. We want him arrested for that. You can't just go out and start your own private mercenary firm murdering who you don't like. You know, and he's admitted to this. It's on CNN. Again, the problem is we have no leadership. Alex Jones has a lot of positive things about him. Most definitely, he's getting the information out. He's not a leader, and he has tremendous faults. So instead of facing his faults, he won't push for a national exposure. All he's got to do is encourage his listeners to call George Ryan, demand we speak openly on the evidence indicating who's truly responsible for 9/11. But he doesn't.
There's another little headline we'll go over briefly. No kidding, 1 in 3 children fear Earth apocalypse. Children aged 6 to 11 fears that Mom Earth won't exist when they grow up, while more than half, 56%, worry the planet will be a blasted planet, something like that, or at least a very unpleasant place to live, according to a new survey. And maybe something that will happen if we have some sort of a disaster. Maybe not an apocalypse or end of the world, but, you know, changes on the planet as we move into sunspot 24 with a weakened magnetic field. But some of it could be the result of global warming propaganda. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, a change is coming. We cannot proceed. We cannot continue this way without any leadership, you know. But people's egos get in the way. Like, you know, everybody calls themselves a patriot. You know, everybody a fan of Fox News, these tea parties. You know, I have to insult people to try to get us to motivate ourselves to understand that there are certain principles we all adhere to. Like I say, you got no evidence, the person's innocent. Yeah, but no. You know, I'm not saying like Hammurabi, we put these people to death. We have to just expose them through open public debate. You go, look, how do you form your conclusion then? They go in faith. They steal faith from God. They steal our religion.
Hey, John, do you know who started the... Do you know... I need to know this, though. Do you know who started the Tea Parties, personally?
Ron Paul.
Do you know who started it? What group started it?
No, well, I know Ron Paul, I believe. Ron Paul got it going, and then it just sort of got hijacked, right?
I don't know. I'm asking you. If someone knows, please call me.
Yeah, well, I believe.
I need to know this information because it looks completely co-opted, but I need to know who started it. And if it was Ron Paul, fine, but let's just get a couple callers to call in and get brave enough to pick up the phone and get off the internet and call and let us know and join this conversation about liberty. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, you know, and Ron Paul has a lot of positive things, too, and a lot of negative things. You know, he's not a sentinel sent down from the heavens to try to save our world. So there's a whole bunch of issues he just doesn't deal with, honestly, like 9/11. Maybe Al-Qaeda did it. We needed an investigation. We already know how it went down. We know that Bush closed investigations, and it was financed by General Mattis. He's never mentioned that. He wants to go to the gold standard, which is ridiculous. We need accountability. The PEP funds, the woman who's the head cop, she's the top cop, the Congressional Oversight Panel chairwoman. She's been on TV numerous times. She was on Jon Stewart last week. She says, look, they're stealing. Well, this is the problem, is a lot of people don't have the courage and don't have the intellect or whatever, but she's saying that they're robbing you today. You're told you're buying a dollar's worth of stock from wherever, and you're only getting 60 cents worth. They're scamming you. She didn't know that. She had to hire an independent auditor to come in and take a look at what kind of deals have been going down under her authority. She's the top cop. And she said on Jon Stewart and a number of other, Rachel Maddow and so on, that they're stealing the cash right now. Nobody's there to say anything. Ron Paul certainly isn't there. Ron Paul is just, you know, he's not, I'm not saying he's a bad man. He's not into torturing people or certain wars against
them. Exactly. He is the less of all the evils. He's the less of all the evils. That's the real less of all the evils that people wanted when they voted for Obama. And that's Ron Paul. He's the lesser of all the evils with some good stuff. Plus some good stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's not in a position to go into 9/11 and what the police state's really all about. He can just kind of hint at it and kind of give you those little eyebrow wings. Oh, New World Order, of course. But you can't get specific, that's all.
Yeah, but I think I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying that that's not enough. He was also cheated out of the Republican leadership role that he won. Remember, the ballots were fixed. We have the Boston Globe gave out the real numbers of where he was the victor. They took those numbers, doctored it, and look who has the courage. I remember a guy called up Alex Jones. He says, look, it was a guy in this one particular instance. He says, look, I'm fearful that you might be a spreading disinfo because of the fact that Ron Paul won the Republican Party convention. And he's hung up on him, called him all kinds of terrible names, and they'd never call my show again. But that's just the evidence. Like, that's what evidence is. Like, we gotta let our egos get out of the way. You know, because people build up, Ron Paul's gonna save the world. Well, you know, he's got some good ideas, but he doesn't advance that the Iraq war is in a legal conflict. There was no reason to bomb the country. You could have just walked soldiers in there without firing a shot or dropping a bomb, because Saddam was 100% cooperative. There was nothing that was asked of Saddam that he didn't comply with 110%. In fact, Saddam offered things that Bush wouldn't even take him up on, such as take our entire national media and say whatever you want 24 hours a day. You can have all our TV channels, all our radio stations. Bush said, no, I don't want that, because he didn't have true arguments to be made. He refused to take Saddam up on that offer. But all the WMDs were destroyed. The records of all those destructions were given to the Bush administration, to the UN, to the government of Germany, never mentioned on CNN, but the German government did make those documents available, and you can get them on the internet, some of them. And the thing was, is that the weapons were destroyed, so you can't prove that, you know, they're gone, because they're gone. You want to prove that they're less than ash, which was the anthrax. It was burned to less than ash. Prove that. Well, I could give you a vial of ash. What do you want? Like, it doesn't make sense. You know, we're trying to prove something that's not there. So that was the true argument that Bush kept making over and over again that was irrational. Plus, you could go anywhere you wanted without delay. Ron Paul will never mention those things. Ron Paul will call it a police action.
Okay, I know. But moving on from Ron Paul, I can't overthink something for more than 5 minutes, because I'm in terms of the greater scheme of things.
Right.
You know, we got to deal with our, yeah. So, yeah, I know. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I just figure, like it does get complicated when you get into these side issues, but I think everything can be reduced to really simple principles. You know, if you've got no evidence, the guy's innocent. Pursue the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. These are things that everybody who supports McCain or Bush, they don't want that. They want Bush to be, or as Bush was, their deity. Bush does all their critical thinking for them. They don't have any challenges in front of themselves. They just obey obediently without questioning, without understanding their own opinions. And this is what Fox News sells. I mean, we want to be able to form our own minds. And people who don't have an opinion one way or the other, they're not going to get on a national radio program to disagree with anybody. And this is what I mean. You get on a national program, you go, any soldier who doesn't, who thinks we shouldn't pursue those who actually are responsible for 9/11 and go the blind way killing people on the brink of starvation in Afghanistan, phone up. These people will not phone, and if they do, they'll be exposed as stupid, practically, brain-damaged individuals who are terrified of wiser men and women speaking freely. Like I say, like, we know who financed the thing. The guy is not arrested. His friend was interviewed a few months ago stating he's alive and well, and they're, you know, he's not arrested. Of course not. You know, they throw it right in their face. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, we're torturing Oregon soldiers. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Alice. Oregon soldiers were interviewed in the Oregonian. There's a number of newspapers who've also done stories on this one particular issue where they come across a torture facility in Iraq where they're torturing children. They're torturing women. The place is covered in blood. So the soldiers with guns arrested.
All right, we've got a break. We have a break. We don't want to run over it this time. Let's smoothly go into the break. We'll be back in a few, everybody. All right, welcome back. We got another caller here, but first let's finish up with John. John, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'll just make it quick. So, yeah, what we need is accountability, and the torture story from the Oregonian and Oregon soldiers have also been interviewed in other stories. One title is Unnatural Acts, No Place for Mercy. If you put that in quotes in Google, you'd be able to get a copy of it. And essentially, Oregon soldiers come across a torture facility torturing women and children. They arrest the torturers. They release the prisoners. And then orders come on high to release your prisoners and give them back their torture victims, because this is an American facility where you're torturing women and children for the pleasures of sadistic, demonic enemies of God and man. These are true enemies of everyone. We need accountability. We need open communications. We need to demand this. I can't do it myself. You, as the listener, have to make the effort to pick up your phone and get on.
No, I plan to totally go off tonight for 5 minutes against torture and Obama's whole. I'll probably do a preliminary rant later on today, and also I'm going to cover this story: insane cop arrests ABC News reporter. I'm going to play that video tonight. It's all tied together. CIA claims torture prevented fake terror plot. Here's another one: torture report reveals nothing new. So we're in a society where there's more rape, attacks on women, yet there's more torture, more war. It's all interrelated. And I also want to say there are more women out there that are starting to speak up, not just some of the girls out here on Oracle, like Cordy and AJ and some of the others, but you've got some other YouTube channels that are popping up. There's this one, sex does sell, I guess, even if it comes to the Patriot movement, but this woman's just totally gorgeous. And she's sitting here just laying down without freaking out how Obama works for the NWO. And it's pretty good, and I'm sure, you know, stuff like that's going to reach a lot of people when it comes from a woman as opposed to, you know, just men, you know.
Well, let's not forget the at least, last time I checked, at least 38 women who have been gang raped by KBR. Some of them have been murdered by KBR. These guys just openly rape American women, and the officers of whatever city they're living in do not have the courage to hunt them down with our law, with the laws on the books against raping women. 38 women. Complain. They're not being hurt. Their complaints are not being addressed. KBR. These are enemies of women, American women. We can't allow this to continue. But another day, you keep up your good work. Don't be discouraged. You're doing a fine, outstanding job from where I'm listening. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to go another phone call here. And then we've got Mo, also in Oregon, calling in. The time is now. And now let's go to another caller from Ohio, HX. Hi.
Hey, yo, what's up, Alexander? Answering you, sexy beast, you.
All right, I'm just sitting here, just going over everything going on. What's up?
Right on, man, you sound good. Look, I wanted to give a call And I know that there's been a lot of questions recently since the Tea Parties went down about who started what and when and who gets credit. The libertarians are taking credit. Everybody's taking credit, you know, for these protests and so forth. And, you know, the right wing's taking credit and everything. You know, it's just a big old mess. But I wanted to go ahead and call and set the record straight and lay the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground are that 9/11 Truth Committee in Boston and San Francisco started the Tea Party event back in 2006. That's the facts on the ground. And then after that, the Ron Paul campaign grassroots supporters picked it up, and then they ran with it for a little while. And then the modern incarnate, or, you know, then the big thing that we recently heard about lately occurred. So before anybody anywhere came out with a Tea Party protest, 9/11 Truth was doing it first, and they're probably still doing it today. So I just wanted to set the record straight on that and let you know that I love your show. You're doing a great job, and I'll be listening.
Hi, John in Winnipeg. All right, we got somebody outside of the country. Go.
Hi, Eric.
Now, I guess Homeland Security can actually listen in on me and not feel bad about it, since it's a quote-unquote international call to a constitutional monarchy.
Yeah.
Dude, what's up?
You were talking earlier, you were saying, we look, now that we understand history a little bit better, and we see, you know, J.P. Morgan and the like, funding both sides of conflicts, watching everybody die to profit off our continuing sufferings.
Right, but you understand that's what went on in World War One with the Windsors, who were the Saxby-Gotha-Roxburg, I think, or
yeah.
I forgot what the third name was. And the German royals, Habsburgs and others, in Germany, who were fighting themselves intentionally so that they could leapfrog technology, hold and control it themselves, and put all of Europe under administrative control.
Yeah, well, we lose to this game all the time. You know, Israel broke the truce with Gaza and then said they would continually kill people until rockets stopped falling on their country. And yet they broke the truce. They wanted to instigate violence against innocent peoples.
Well, what did Germany do in World War II?
Well, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a recurring predicament. And then there was, are you familiar with Charles Higham writing Trading with the Enemy in 1983? He went through all the evidence, and it's contained in his book, a New York Times bestseller. And what it did is it documented the American corporations that operated hand-in-hand with Nazi Germany to, for example, firebomb London. London could not be firebombed without the direct assistance of ITT, an American company, and other companies, too. But anyway, so my...
Well, you heard recently about Chiquita Banana it was United Fruit or whatever, but to where they're, you know, paying off terrorists and, you know, kicking out funds to terrorist organizations in Colombia, and you see now what's going on in Colombia, and John McCain was more than willing to fly down there, put his arm around Colombia as the best, you know, and most favored nation with the United States, and people need to start taking a look at the School of the Americas and what is now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation that is training assassins to go after normal folk.
Yeah, actually... Yeah, an actual terrorist recruit center. That's their monogram above the door almost, I think, probably.
Yeah.
They're just openly advocating terrorist activities against innocent civilian populace. But McCain supported bombing Afghanistan. Well, Bush closed investigations immediately. But here's my reason I'm calling. These same players, these same games we see today, J.P. Morgan. I learned this, CNBC covered this, but I went to their website and checked it out, you know, for myself or whatever. You know, J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan Chase, whatever their relationship is, we were told they're together, but they're separate, too, because they got their own websites. But J.P. Morgan...
Well, you know, Chase, though, too, was started by Aaron Burr, or was involved, you know, in starting it with the Bank of the Manhattan Company. But if you look at some of the other companies, and you look at the names, John Thompson, Tommy Thompson. You know, do you remember him from the Department of Health and Human Services?
Well, that's the guy
who said he'd be chipped and never was.
Yeah, well, he's the guy who bailed out the casinos in Wisconsin. He says, we got to bail them out, and he gave them, I think, $200-something million.
This was years ago. This is about 10 or so years ago. But listen, J.P. Morgan, okay, here's the scam they're doing today. J.P. Morgan has more than $1 trillion in capital. They have a commercial banking branch. They're number one in commercial banking.
Even though they supposedly converted themselves from a commercial bank to a regular, you know, bank.
Yeah, but, well, they do a lot. They'll do whatever they can. But listen, here, this is the quote. Their annual revenue is generally ranging from $10 million to $2 billion. But their capital rate, how silly is that? But anyway, their capital exceeds $1 trillion currently. Why would you bail out a banker then? Obama, this crime is called extortion, by the way. But Obama's and these pirates in congressmen's suits are telling us that they had to bail these banks out so they could hopefully lend some of this money back to us at interest. They needed capital to create credit. Well, J.P. Morgan's had more than $1 trillion all throughout this whole crisis.
John,
people pay.
You understand you live in a constitutional monarchy, right?
Yeah, but they're scamming us right there. They're lying to us.
No, but hear me out on this. Because they really want the North American Union.
But who's they? It's us.
Well, the power brokers, the industrialists, Rockefellers, Morgans, you know. Anderson is another one. Anderson's tied to the Bank of Manhattan and also Hamilton. Hamilton's the one who started the revenue cutter Marine. Aaron Burr, you know, shot it out with Hamilton, killed him in a duel. But Aaron Burr was a member of Tammany Hall, which was the hub for the Democratic Republican Party. It was one party.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Who it stood against?
That sounds amazing.
Foreigners.
Yeah,
it stood against the royal foreign interests of these kingdoms, not just England, but also Germany, you know, Austria, Bavaria, Liechtenstein, Spain, Italy, and more.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not being held to account ever, and they're escaping our authority by us not understanding.
Well, that was my question to you. They want to, under their terms and under their, you know, imposition of whatever form of government, and they'll write the Constitution or whatever for us through a trade agreement or whatever, do you think it would be better for Canada and the United States and Mexico to come together under mutual terms, forget about the SPP and Bush, say screw that, screw NAFTA, whatever, come together on our own terms? Because at some point, if we don't, we are going to be at war with Europe. And I'm telling you, because they're doing things like the refueling tankers, moving the contract to Europe, moving the technology there, the Hadron Collider that is in Switzerland, it's in CERN. The one that was shut down in Texas that Bush was involved in shutting down, to take that technology and whether it actually creates a black hole and sucks the planet in, like, you know, some people are saying, or it opens up some kind of portal for, you know, time travel or whatever. But we're going to get enormous technology coming from that collider. We don't have it anymore. We don't have that technology. And we're sitting over here where they're playing games with the United States and Canada, and not even Canada's like, we won't allow Americans to go up to Canada and to seek asylum from what's going on down here.
Yeah.
Prime Minister, you know, your guy, who's it, Harper or whatever?
Yeah, Harper, yeah.
And even the guy before him, it was just before Harper, Paul Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys are playing games, and there's people who want to, or have tried to, military and other people, to leave this country, go to Canada, and get the hell out of here because of how crazy it's getting, and they're being blocked.
Yeah, well,
from entry into Canada.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of questions you asked me there. Soldiers.
Well, no, but the thing I was going to ask is, would it be better for us to come together?
Right.
And because I know there's a bunch of, they call them neoliberals in Canada, who are against the crown and against England and against Europe. They're under attack in Canada themselves. And, you know, they could be a bunch of neo-fascists or PNACers themselves.
Right.
I don't know what your opinion is, but at some point, you're our neighbor. And Canada's been a good neighbor to us for a very long time, and I would hope, you know, that you would think the same thing for us, you know, setting aside the
try to look at the world as a whole bunch of individuals. Everybody should have equal rights to be treated fairly. And as a consequence, hey, I'm going to win, and you'll win too. We all win. You know, this is what public consensus is. And as you're saying, can we get together on our own terms? We have to understand that that's the game that's always being played. Bush says it's our terms. You know, all these people say, well, it's with the public consensus that we have to bail out the banks. We've convinced ourselves it's the right thing to do. We've got our top lines on this. And this is the point. J.P. Morgan's got $1 trillion. Don't bail out anybody. It's extortion. They told us if we don't bail them out, the economy's going to crumble. No, they're proves this. They're lying.
They're doing it anyway. Hey, John, hold on one second. Okay, we're on a real quick break. We'll be right back, ladies. Finish off the show. Close it out. This is In the Zone. You're hosted by Eric Schein, Public Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back with John in Winnipeg. Our northern neighbor and friend. Hi, we're back, and our northern neighbor. And lest I say a subject to the Queen, John in Winnipeg, and I'm ribbing you a little bit, but, you know, because we're living under the same situation, even though we're in a republic, you know, just like here in the United States, we have republics and commonwealths and dare I say democracies or whatever, various forms of governance within the states that we're all married together and they all have their own ways. But what they're trying to do with us is the same thing now, the next level, and this is laid out in Philip Bobbitt's book, The Shield of Achilles, that I talk about quite a lot, to where they're moving us to the market state. And let me read this real quick while you're here.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard me talk about this before, but I've read his bio many times. I want to do it now. And I want to read part three, The Historic Consequences of the Long War. Thesis, the market state is superseding the nation state as a consequence of the end of the Long War. Long War was from 1914 to 1990, as their own definition. The end of the Long War has been quickly followed by the emergence of a new constitutional order. This new form is the market state, whereas the nation state, with its mass free public education, universal franchise, and social security policies, promised to guarantee the welfare of the nation. The market state promises instead to maximize the opportunity of the people. And listen to this carefully, and thus tends to privatize many state activities and to make voting and representative government less influential and more responsive to the market. The United States, a principal innovator in the development of the market state, must fashion its strategic policies with its fundamental constitutional change in mind.
Yeah, well,
and
I'll tell you.
This was put out in 2001, and this guy is so tied to the Walkers and the Davis family and the Royals and the Bushes that, you know, they're inseparable.
Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, you're asking the biggest questions of civilized man. Like, these questions are huge, and the answers, are challenging. You know,
well, do you want to
live?
Do you want to live in a country that swears allegiance to the crown, to the royal families?
Okay, well, I wanted to step back one question, and then we can go to there.
Go ahead real quick, but we got only a couple minutes.
Okay, well, the Queen.
All yours.
Firstly, to trade with China on an equal par basis, you're losing out competitively. It's just like competing with a store across the corner that has slave workers where they steal their body organs and beat them to get back to work. You know, you wouldn't allow that in your town. Why do we allow it to happen in China? Now we're saying, well, we got to send the military in there? No, they shouldn't be allowed to compete against an honorable man who runs a good business that helps our communities.
Well, so the Constitution, our Constitution, and even your form of governance, because you're independent, supposedly. But we saw what happened with Harper, where they're
we're just like,
it all comes at a cost. It all comes at a cost.
It's like you said, we're living in the same struggles everybody is. You know, like for our country to send your soldier to prison because he refused a criminal order is the highest act of treason imaginable, and I've demanded Harper be charged for that criminal offense. The soldier only wanted to swear allegiance to the oath he gave to God and country to not openly commit a criminal offense. You cannot put that man in jail. you argue that he's lying. They can't argue that he's lying because what he's saying is the truth. You take an oath.
Yeah, he's a political prisoner.
Justice, the American way.
Faith from God, whether in the form of the earlier faith, Christian faith, the original faith that Moses brought, of course, as well, or the faith brought by Prophet Muhammad, they're all the same. You know, belief in the oneness of God and justice before humankind and do what to the other as you would expect them to do to you. Before they do it to you is how we've got it now. John in Canada, continue on with this, line five. How you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
That's good.
The struggle continues. You know, of course, as most listeners of RBN, I think would concur, we all want justice, but we get divided, sometimes on our own, because the world can be confusing, and then at other times, people work directly to keep us divided. The last thing evil or criminals want is us to form common cause.
Definitely.
And you know, there's all kinds of different ways of going about that. And I look at our struggle, justice, for ourselves as just a police investigator would. And there are certain aspects of evidence that are extremely strong, and a lot of stuff is circumstantial, but as I say, some stuff is super strong. I'm not going to touch much to that, just to say Bush, of course, as alleged by the FBI, did close investigations immediately. That was the instruction. And the FBI do say, as does the government of India, that Muhammad Atta received wire transfer payments at the behest of General Mahmoud Ahmad, who was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11 and also was sent to the Taliban to let them know that no evidence will be brought against the accused, otherwise an innocent man in Christ, and you would be going against Allah to hand him over without thinking. Support the American cause of freedom for all and demand evidence to form your mind. And, of course, America didn't do that for yourselves, and investigations were closed. No bad guys escaped, but not forever. So I just wanted to say that there's a video out there that talks a lot about what you were talking about, and I've researched the subject quite extensively myself regarding the video of the planes, and I respect you a tremendous amount. I mean, you're better than 99.9% of everybody else on the Internet who can't bother to do anything, but I don't know what they're doing. You know, look at
But, John, the thing, first of all, on the planes is that you have to do the forensic, right?
Yeah.
Done the forensic on the wreckage, which I have posted on the Node. I don't have much on this site. I'm not a website guy, but NodeDisinfo.com has a strewn wreckage page. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist or even a confused person. All you got to do is look at the wreckage, add 2 + 2, and see that it doesn't equal 4. No way. You've got 600,000 pounds of wreckage. You've got 1,000, 2,000 pounds of wreckage. Strewn wreckage.
Right. Well,
hold on.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
All right.
And Ron from Texas and everybody else will be back to you. Dr. K filling in for Rick Adams. I just come in on Monday night to bench it for him, and next Monday might not be able to make it, but Rick Adams is going to come in strong on some of these same subjects. But in any case, you do know, though, John, that Muhammad Atta was not Muhammad Atta, that it was the
right.
It was the fake.
Yeah, like I say, like we can go by what is solid for sure, without contention, no argument to be made, like closing investigations. If you want to pursue the bad guys, you're going to have to get the cops on the subject. And Bush doesn't want that.
We're calling on the police and everybody to join, you know, together to prevent more of this kind of murder and mayhem.
Right. Yeah, and then in a court proceeding, you know, you have video of liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water, and then when they analyze the dust, it contains thermite, which is
thermite, which is
the U.S. military concoction. Doesn't necessarily mean everybody in the U.S. military is an accomplice. That's the thing. They want us to be fearful of all soldiers like they're all bad guys.
Right. I think here's the clear thing that's really obvious, and that is if it was a CIA or military thing, be too many leaks. Francisco Cossiga has reminded everybody that, look, our intelligence agencies couldn't do it. It has to be more of a secretive group.
We do kind of know how it all went down. You know, they try to implicate all kinds. Like, there's so many terror drills on the same time at the same location. One of those is the real one, and we'll hold that out over for the actual world court, or our court, the court of the public, to deviate which one's the evil one. But there's a group of people there that obviously are directly complicit, and they try to get a whole bunch of other people in the military to run your own drills. Do your own drills over here. Nobody's
right.
going to catch
but
it.
You know what? You know what's really, really critical? Whoever had the gunpowder on their hands, that's how they, you know, close some cases in the criminal court. The only people that had the gunpowder and bombs in their hands were the Zionists.
Yeah,
so
well,
it makes it a lot easier to start boiling the thing down.
Yeah, and the charge of obstruction, they are assisting in the direct escape of those who did you wrong.
Well,
they are the criminals.
No doubt about
people,
that, if you got a murder scene, the accomplices are one thing, but the guy that pulls the trigger and plots it is another.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's where you go to Netanyahu, and that's where you go to Silverstein, that's where you go to Rockefeller, that's
Silverstein.
Where you go to Rothschild.
Silverstein.
One of the Rothschilds called in on a talk show, on the Alex Jones show. Now, that's pretty much unheard of. So,
I heard that. He's, like, surprising not to many. He's not a very bright guy. But I just wanted to tell you about the planes going into the plane like butter. Now, this might shock you a bit. You can look at the evidence for yourself and draw your own conclusions, but it's scientific, and this is the kind of evidence that would be brought into a court of law to prosecute these guys.
Yes.
There's a video called 9/11 Impossible Speed and Impact Busted Updated. So if you put in quotes in Google "impossible speed and impact" in quotes, you'll for sure get this video. And in it, I love you. You know, telling you, you're a great guy. You're doing the right thing. But listen, they're saying, and you got all the science here in this video. They're talking about the aluminum alloys, the specific alloys that are used on this aircraft have a higher tensile strength rating than structured steel, and the velocity at going, I think it's 540 feet a second, actually would cut right through the wall, and they have the science. They have the science to show it. But you know, it's something.
You know what you need to do, John. Look at all the plane crashes instead of some buffoon who writes a video.
No. This is it's all documented. You could look at the science yourself.
You know what? Popular Mechanics is documented, supposedly.
Well, they have the charts of what the alloy of aluminum that they use for the aircraft. But it's something. The science of it. You either. Yeah.
Didn't we say that forensic analysis is what it's all about?
Mm-hmm.
The forensic is more important than somebody's analysis on a video.
Well, no, it's the charts of the tensile strength of aluminum alloy.
Are you charts to actual plane crashes?
No, but you can. Okay, well, there's
yes
that.
No.
And there's, here's another
what
thing.
What's more powerful? What has happened for the last 50 years or a chart?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is there are contentious arguments.
Answer my question. Which one is the more powerful piece to show the truth? What happens or a chart?
Well, no, those in the aircraft industry developed the strongest aluminum they possibly could, and this alloy is stronger than structured steel, and that's the alloy that they use in these aircraft. That's just a fact. I'm telling you, that's what they're saying. You get the documents from the aircraft industry.
Do you really think that when you look at a plane's wing,
mm-hmm.
and you see it wobbling around, do you really think, regardless of what the chart says, just think about it. Forget the chart. You think that that can smash its way through steel girders that are tempered steel made in Japan?
Well, that's the thing. It's kinetic energy. I can't, but the math on it is...
How could if you took an aluminum can and put it in a crossbow...
But it's not aluminum can.
Well, take a piece of aluminum, the most hardened aluminum you have.
Okay.
And shoot it at 500 miles an hour. How is it going to penetrate steel, whether 500, 300, 700 miles an hour?
Well, it's the formula for kinetic energy.
You know what? It's not enough to have a formula. If you look at every plane crash. John, hold on.
Okay.
Every plane crash in the history of this world,
mm-hmm.
none of the plane wings penetrate a steel and concrete building. If you look at the 747 LL Airlines that apparently had explosives on board, smashing into a thin aluminum building, a 600,000-pound plane in 1987, I believe it was, the wing fell off in front of the building.
Right.
The fuselage is crumped up in front of the building.
Well, I believe that. I'm not doubting anything you're saying at all. I'm just saying that this physicist and those of the aircraft industry tell us this is with the alloy that are made in modern...
It's not a setup. John,
but anyway,
John,
okay.
Hold on. How do you know it's not a setup to try to deflect the powers of the mines like the popular mechanics setup? Or like
anybody who disputes the physics, like he works out the physics of this, mass x
regardless of what he's worked up, that it's not a setup to try to prevent the revelation of the truth.
Well, there's a hundred.
Is that not a possibility?
Well, I'll answer you. Anybody can respond to the video publicly and add your own comments. And he's just a physicist to say this. But we know that he closed the investigation. So if we're trying to implicate somebody for an inside job, we would go with Bush. But there's other evidence that's...
Well, why are you stressing Bush when the Israelis actually tried to blow up the George Washington Bridge a half a day later?
Oh, totally criminal. I know.
Yeah.
They need to be hunted down.
John. Who drove explosive-laden vans into the sub-basement of the World Trade Center?
Madness. They need to be hunted down and prosecuted by the full extent of the law.
Wouldn't you start first with those arch-criminals? At least start...
You have to get cops on the subject. If the president says no cops are going to be pursuing those leads, we're left in the dark.
Anything else, John, that you want to add?
The other thing is where they say the wing disappears, like they say, oh, look, it must be CGI because the wing disappears. Well, it's just a flash of light because you can get... Because there's a shadow that's in its space, and when it breaks the shadow, a light quickly flashes on the wing before it hits the building. This causes a video effect. It causes a video effect for the blue in the sky and the green on the wing to momentarily, in only one video, disappear. In another video, you can see it not disappear, but partially fade.
John.
Due to the...
John, I got a question for you. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you know that there was wreckage on the street before 8:48 a.m.?
Oh, I haven't heard that. That sounds pretty wild. Was the passport being found?
On the corner of Church and Murray Street,
there's
an engine setting upright and a sort of a wheel disc part of an engine on the street with police tape wrapped around it.
Wow.
Before the upper part of the World Trade Center supposedly was struck by a plane.
That's incredible. I've got a piece for you that you probably didn't hear of with Muhammad Atta. You know, they said that they found the passport 2 blocks away from the site. You're familiar with that,
right? That's been proven not to be true, but go ahead.
But the passport, I've seen an image, there's evidence, a photographic picture of the passport as evidence, and the photograph of the passport has loose papers within its pages. So, it's not
Muhammad Atta's passport. The passport actually has the name and photograph of Sultan al-Sulkami. And he, by the way, passed away in 2000. So some people made a mistake on the web and said it was Atta's passport. It's not. It's the passport to this fellow. The passport is coated in kerosene, but it's not on fire and it's not charred. And it was handed by a man in a pinstripe suit to Commander Lee, I think it was his name, one of the police officers. He gave him this kerosene-soaked passport and just kept on walking. And so that's the only evidence that we have. A kerosene-soaked passport that's not on fire and about 3,000 pounds of plane parts versus 600,000 pounds of plane. So,
And you hear, too, that the identities of many of the alleged hijackers were Saudi Arabian pilots. Why would al-Qaeda steal the identifications of Saudi Arabian pilots that, of course, didn't play a part in the terrorist attack?
Al-Mossad, which one?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's who we're dealing with. And they hold positions of political power by lying to us directly on television. We want investigations opened immediately, and any officer who would say otherwise would be a traitor. He would be an enemy of freedom in America.
They've got this oath of serving the devil, I guess. But
well,
I call on all of our people to wake up. John, thank you. And
all right.
You keep up with the good work.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
All right. Well, that was an interchange that we had.
All right, my friends, we are back here. Thanks so much for joining us tonight on this Tuesday edition of Axiom Radio. We're going to go right to the phone lines. I got John from Canada patiently waiting. John, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Good. So you got me going. You got me going on the... on the gambling, online gambling, and the VLTs, the casinos.
Yep.
Much of our society, due to the lack of our television and radio professionals not living up to defending our communities. But the shocking thing of this, the hell of this, of course, as you're well aware, there's all kinds of crazy, hellish things going on. But as it is with online gambling, it's actually a criminal offense. It's the way they do the numbers. Now, the reason we can't directly accuse them of a criminal offense and call the car or get the cops in there with a warrant and put them into prison, the reason we can't or we don't do that is because in Canada, for example, all our provinces run the same scam. And it's got to do with how they tabulate credits versus dollars. And the way the math is done, they can take any percentage of the deposited dollars wagered and promise any return. It's all a mathematical construct of phoniness that our society and our political reality just refuse to acknowledge. Because if we did, then we'd realize how stupid we've been for like more than a decade. And in Manitoba, for example, our Manitoba Lottery Corporation, as an employee there, you get a free car. Like, that's one of the perks, a brand-new free car. And they take trips around the world. And many other casinos practice similar shenanigans, because even in that context, it's very hard to encourage our police officers to pay attention, because it gets close to the fact that our political representation is so incompetent. And they express very little true care for ourselves. Actually, most of the evidence in respect to the criminality of Manitoba's lottery systems were provided actually by competing for political party, the NDP. When they were running for power, they were running against the Conservatives. So this was one of their positions, was giving this information out and saying, look, they're stealing all our cash. And then when they got into power, they didn't do anything about it. And we're all just sort of watching all our money fly out the door. And in the States, it's going right out your country, right? Like you say, there's other ways of paying these guys. But the primary problem is that we don't want to look at how the math is done. Number of reasons. First of all, we got to start respecting computer programmers and people that actually have really good math skills, because it's not the easiest thing to explain, but it is a mathematical construct. And I wrote a paper about it about maybe something like 10 years ago called Stand Together or Don't. And in it, I talk about how the system is run and how the dollars are, or how the percentages are tabulated. It's like, again, because it's not a random winning situation, to make it easier and less long-winded, the guy who invented the first VLT machine was a Mr. Volker in Las Vegas. And once he invented it, he felt bad about it, or he realized that this system can be corrupted, and started speaking out against it in Las Vegas, and somebody assassinated him or shot him in the head, and he died right away. And we just continued on, you know, the provinces and Canada.
Their gaming secrets, like if you look at Vegas, their gaming secrets are very well kept and very well guarded. And what they do is have a gaming commission come in there to make sure that these machines are paying out, I guess, what they say they pay out. But it's like you said, it's a mathematical construct. I mean, it's just a matter of time. It's math, and they always win. They're stealing our money.
Yeah, it is actually for sure criminal theft. Like the gaming commission, like if you phone the gaming commission in Manitoba, they would say, well, they return 96%. And if you call the Manitoba Lottery Corporation, they'd say that they return 69% or so. Now, the gaming commission says that because they have to prop up their lies. And now they're only counting credits. They're not going to do the percentages dollar-wise. Now, the Manitoba Lotteries, theirs is a scam too, but they say they're kind of doing it by the dollars. But it's not the dollars. Actually, when you actually get the numbers in your hand and find out what the percentages truly are, in our poorest community, poorest neighborhoods in Winnipeg, they take as much as 78% of the deposited dollars wagered, while the newspaper and the local TV stations say they're only taking 4%. And this has been going on for, like I say, at least a decade. And the same thing happens in the States also. What they do is to take a higher percentage of the dollars wagered, they do what's called churning credits. So when you say you're wagering 5 credits on one play, you won back 5 credits. So you haven't gone anywhere. You haven't lost or you haven't won, and the machines just paid you back what you wagered. Well, technically the computer has won, because they're going to take 4% of that exchange. And that's how they do it. The more returns they get that are identical to what you've wagered, the higher the percentage of the overall money wagered they will be able to pocket.
Right.
And that stuff isn't
I was going to say, it's a really sad system, too, because what they do is they prey on people who are or tend to be socioeconomically poor. And and these social planners, they do this every time. If you look at a poor neighborhood, that's what you see: the most off-track betting, the most lottery stations, the most scratch ticket availability, and the most liquor stores and alcohol availability.
Yeah.
They always put them in the poorest neighborhoods, and it's just so sad to see it happening.
Well, the highest, like I say, in Winnipeg, in other areas of the city, you know, the more well-to-do bars, their takes aren't anywhere near what it is in the poorer communities. But I actually have a defense for them, and it's got to do with how the program, how the computer program is written.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff is copyright, private, anyway, it's owned by a private corporation, and you're not allowed to see the computer code. But I'm not an expert. No, I guess I shouldn't say that. But I'm familiar with computer programming, and I know mathematics fairly well, and I can tell you exactly how the whole thing's operating, particularly because over the first 8 or 9 years when the machine was tilted, or if you hit the machine hard, or when they emptied it out, a receipt would come out of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just simply grab these receipts if you wanted, and it was about how the whole thing runs. And then, like I say, it's the percentages generally when the media says, oh, it's a good thing for us because the money will go to our social programs, they'll lie on those percentages just counting credits. And even the dollars, where you count the dollars, it's still not a true... All we know for sure is they're cheating at play, and that's the Criminal Code of Canada. You can't pretend it's a lottery device. So a guy sued the government in Nova Scotia. He said, I lost $50,000 playing these VLT machines, and I just discovered, because I'm smart as this John guy is, that this isn't even a lottery device. You've been scamming me. This wasn't an honest wagered bet because it isn't based on any random occurrence. It's decided prior to me even playing whether I'm going to get robbed or otherwise. There isn't a random occurrence. So he took it to court, and guess what? He won his case.
Whoa.
And the state of Nova Scotia gave him back his money that he lost playing VLTs because it wasn't a lottery device. And that's when gaming commissions cropped up all across Canada. Before that, every province just had a lottery corporation. Then all of a sudden, since he won his case, they didn't want other people suing the government and finding out what was going on. They opened up the gaming commissions. And that's why you have that contradiction, where if you phone the Manitoba Gaming Commission, they say they're only taking 4%. And if you phone the Manitoba Lotteries, they say they're taking about 36%.
Right.
And, you know, the media never demands explanation or arrest warrants or whatever. So to do the same scam that anybody else can, you just set up a gambling site on the Internet and say you're paying out whatever. It doesn't matter. You can take whatever percentage of the dollars deposited as long as you can churn credits. And of course, as a consequence, it's not based on any random occurrence or...
John, I have a break right here. Do you want to hold over for the break and finish this conversation?
Sure.
Awesome. Okay, hold there. Hold tight. We'll come right back with John from Canada and continue this conversation. This is Axiom Radio. With our friend John from Canada, we were talking about basically the gaming system and how it's a great system. It's a mathematical formula designed to suck your money out, and it's just a matter of time. It's a given. There is no other way around it. And these are the slot machines, the video poker machines, the VLT machines, and a lot of the online gaming. Online gaming is set up the exact same way. And it's really sad to see people not questioning it. There's really no debate or discussion in the mainstream media. And now in my country, in the U.S., you have people like Barney Frank making it even easier, trying to remove a ban that we have in place to allow these companies to continue what they're doing. And that's to basically deceive people and offer them these false dreams of hope and financial freedom. And it just doesn't happen. It's such a rare event. And what normally happens is people are bled dry, and there's just a simple, basic entertainment value attached. And, man, it goes beyond buyer beware. But, John, please continue.
Yeah, well, you know, it is, like, I refer to it as a beast, like, or a monster. It is, like, when we really understand the nature of what it is, or some other aspects of it, we recognize it as some kind of, you know, mythical monster from folklore, I'm telling you. Like, economics, it doesn't make sense. It's what's called a regressive system, because normally when the government takes in revenue, it's associated to the exchange of a good or a service. Right. In the case of gambling revenues, it's just it doesn't represent any exchange in the society.
It's pure entertainment. That's why I chalk it up to like a pure entertainment value. But people don't recognize or at least realize
right.
that they're going there strictly to be entertained, and it's going to cost them. They go there with the hopes and the dreams of maybe winning a bunch of money and having some financial security.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, for sure. That's a big part of it. Like, I think the answer is 100% payouts. And then, you know, you get rid of organized crime and all these guys who get free trips around the world. And there's so much corruption. I could talk for hours on just, you know, the fact that there's evidence indicating that people that work there win the majority of the big prizes, you know. So this is the thing. The reason the media doesn't defend ourselves is because if, for example, then here in Winnipeg, the Winnipeg Free Press has front page ads every single day. Go to the casino, go play the VLT. So they get, who knows what that equals per year.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, they don't feel obligated to attack their huge, probably their biggest financial backer. And newspapers, you know, they make all their money on advertising. In fact, they can make more money by just giving the papers away for free. And people don't realize that either. What? Yeah. You know, we think that they make money on the selling of the paper, but it's really the advertising where all the revenue comes from. So they don't want to attack this candy boat. And it represents just a loss straight across the board. There's no benefit to this because normally when the government takes in that much revenue, a million would represent, you know, tens of millions almost $100 million worth of some kind of exchange of good or service. This is just a pure tax, and it's coming out of the people who spend the largest percentage of their income paycheck to paycheck on groceries. For example, a person who's a waitress, she'll spend a higher percentage of her income each month on groceries than, say, a billionaire banker does or a hedge fund trillionaire. Like a hedge fund trillionaire, maybe he'll pull in $800 billion this year for himself personally. He's not going to spend like 10% of that cash on pizza.
Right.
You know, the larger income you have, people say, well, you're just a commie. Well, no, I'm actually understanding that the currency is the nation's currency, and you want to be fair here. But this situation is you're taking huge amounts of money from the poorest segments of our communities, so they're not going to be spending it at the corner store.
Yep.
And
that's the economy. I totally agree. This is exactly what I say about gambling, Johnny. You couldn't have conveyed it any better. That's the thing. It's a scam. It's bad for the economy. It doesn't help any segment of the population. And it's literally like a hidden tax because all you're getting is an entertainment value off of it. So, I mean, I can't believe that it's gotten so huge. It's huge in this country right now. Gambling's everywhere. Off-track betting, casinos popping up everywhere, river boats and ocean casino boats. And it's just very, very pervasive right now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's one other example I wanted to give you. I almost forgot that it was La Paz. It's a town in Manitoba. And each year they get so many X amount of dollars from the province for projects that are funded through the province for the city. Well, they lose more money in VLT losses, like more money comes out of the town and into the coffers of the bigwigs in Winnipeg than does go into the province through provincial transfers. So there is no other side to this. The whole community is being bled. These people are going to suffer. There's going to be fewer jobs or fewer dollars, fewer jobs, more poor people. And so there's no benefit to this, and yet the government is promoting it. They sell the advertising. Or in Canada, it's a government. Well, in the States, it is largely also. It's a government enterprise to push this form of death on ourselves because they personally, privately, can pocket off our losses. And it's a scam. And I figure the best, easiest answer is a transparent system where 100% of all dollars wagered are paid out in one form or another. And then you defeat all the people who say, well, we got to have a casino to compete against the riverboat casinos. We got to have a casino here because all our dollars will go to another community. Well, we'll open up a casino, but we'll pay out every single last cent. And if it has a high operating cost, we'll tax the banks to run the thing. And
right.
then I think solve all the issues right there. I put a lot of thought into it. You know, I've been thinking about it for a decade or whatever. But I really think that that's a good idea. And other people have proposed that sort of solution. If the government needs money, then we're going to have to pay the taxes for it. If we can't afford it, we won't pay for it. That's how the system's supposed to work. We don't want to encourage ourselves. Let's rip off Grandma Jones. She doesn't know any better. And as a consequence, like the newspaper sell, the government will take in more revenue, and you'll pay less in taxes. And that's all they have to tell people. And a lot of people just take that. That's enough. Yeah, it's good. VLTs is good. The gambling is good because they'll pay less in taxes. And yet, it's kind of you're debasing your economy. You're going to probably lose your job. And
and the government is taking up money that normally would represent, you know, literally billions of dollars in action. So our society further and further dies while the government officials get richer and richer and richer, and it's not supposed to work that way. We're supposed to be of the government, of the people.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. John, excellent points, man. I really do appreciate it. Anything else you want to talk about?
We got to get the 9/11, guys. Let's open 9/11 investigations. But other than that, keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, John. Really appreciate it. Really good points there, and I do appreciate that, man. And call you back soon, man. Love to hear from you again soon. All right, take care, John. All right, there goes John. He makes excellent points. You know, gambling is, it just doesn't benefit anybody. You know, out of the one person out of 1,000 that gets rich and makes it and gains some sort of financial security from it, and they even show the numbers and statistics from people who do win and win, you know, big, they end up usually gambling back a good percentage, if not all of it and more.